morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from me.
Is co-conspirator, co-host, co-pilot,
beloved co-host,
Mike Cosentino. We are enjoying the post-day benefits from a massive wine tasting yesterday.
Okay, and Gary LeMaster, our producer, is sitting back in the corner silently.
Silent Gary.
Checking on us.
That's right.
We promised to buy him coffee after the show.
He just listens for the seven words. That's all he does. That's his function. But we have guests in the studio.
Oh, my gosh.
They look like they're people. They are. They're hardworking folks. So we've got Wendy Harford, and she's going to tell us who's you. What's your organization, Wendy?
We are the Verde River Valley Nature Organization, and we promote education, recreation, and tourism based on promoting stewardship of the Verde River Valley.
Recreation and tourism and other stuff.
Education. Good education in there.
So she's going to talk a lot about that today. But we also have Bob Rothrock.
Morning.
And what do you do, Bob?
Well, I'm a member of the board of the Verde River Valley Nature Organization.
Very good. Full disclosure here, Bob and I have known each other for many years, and you're always doing river work. So tell us a little, rather than, Wendy's got all this really important stuff we want to talk about. Let's talk about what have you been doing on this river for this, like, last 20 years?
Or more.
Good point.
Yeah. I've always enjoyed getting people out on the river. I myself enjoy floating the river, most any river. And because of that, I've wanted to share that experience with other people. And I find that when people get out on the river, they develop a relationship with it. It just is a different type of experience than walking along it, fishing in it, or even swimming in it, and to go boating on the river. And so I like getting people out there to do that, and I've been doing that for quite a few years through the Verde River Citizens Alliance, an organization that was involved with the river, no longer active, and with the Birding Festival, which is how I got involved with the Verde River Valley Nature Organization.
Yes, and that's one of the events we'll be talking about.
I know that my wife had never really much been to the Verde River, and Doug Van Gossick took her on one of the tours, took us on a tour kayaking down the river, and she really fell in love with it. She wrote one of her pieces for the Sedona Red Rock News about how much she loved the Verde River. If you folks haven't been on it, it's not only the lifeblood of the Verde Valley, but it's a spectacular rafting, kayaking, picnicking area, and going on the river. I think, as you said, floating on that river is something special.
Falling in love with walls of wildflowers
on either side, birds, the trees overhanging, the water running. It's just an absolutely spectacular and different experience. And so, just like you're talking about, she fell in love with the river. With two river trips.
Well, that's it. I think Jessica's experience, a 10-plus-year resident of the Verde Valley, had not been on the river.
That's true.
And had no the appreciation for it, which I believe is what Bob was referring to.
Yeah, sure. Falling in love with it is a real typical response, Steve.
It's stunningly beautiful, folks. If you haven't kayaked on it, and it is... Walls, like I said, walls of, when we were there, yellow wildflowers, the trees are shimmering. There's a bunch of different damselflies and dragonflies, these sort of cool little insects floating by. You can see some fishies in the water. It's
birds, beavers, otter.
It really connects you up with the river. I think Bob's right. It's just floating on it and kayaking, it really does, rafting in some parts of it, I suppose. So the Verde River is one of the last free-flowing rivers in Arizona, right?
That's correct.
And it's less than 200 miles long, and I get different, when I look at it, I get different stats, 170, 180, and so forth and so on. But it flows into the Salt River.
That's right.
The Salt River flows into the Gila, and the Gila flows into Colorado.
Well, they all kind of stop flowing before...
Before
that point,
there's
two dams on the Verde, I believe five on the Salt, and once the channel leaves Phoenix, all that's in it is treated wastewater.
Yeah.
Or irrigation tailwater. So, the Verde is one of the last free-flowing rivers in Arizona over its whole length. But even that length has been shortened. At one time, the water flowing from Del Rio Springs outside of Prescott was the start of the Verde River. You had a continuous stream of flowing water. Now that Del Rio Springs is level of discharge has dropped by two-thirds, that water no longer gets all the way to the Verde. So the Verde's start has been shortened, and we're gradually drying it up.
We've slipped easily and naturally, and as we should, into the environmental issues surrounding the river, which... would you guys sort of... And we want to, once again, I think we want to be real open about this, and your way of getting folks, it's not just yours, whoever wants to answer this, whatever's going on, the method of you got this environmental wonder that even my esteemed co-host was speaking in awe of, and a lot of people didn't know it existed, didn't have whatever. As you look for support environmentally, What's the master plan here, Wendy? What's going on?
Our master plan is to work with every other Verde River Valley organization out there.
There you go.
But we're kind of the fun group. We get to put people on the river. We get to take them out birding. We have safe river recreation courses to introduce people to the river, even to the level. We just held our first, Essentials of River Kayaking, mm-hmm. Level 1 and 2 with the American Canoe Association.
Where was it?
That was at Chuzigoot Tapco River Access Points, and we're looking to do more of that with them. We have a river runoff race. I think I mentioned the Bird Festival, SciTech Festival. If I go through the year, kind of in November, December, we start planning. February 1st, our registration opens for two of our biggest events, the River Runoff Race, which is March 28th, or the last weekend of March, and the Bird Festival, which has been going on for 15 years.
Wow, that long.
And we're kind of in a flip here because VRVNO, Verde River Valley Nature Organization, is the parent organization of the Bird Festival, but it's only 2 years old.
I see.
And the Bird Festival is 15 years old. So,
well, yeah.
So, how does this work? You interact with all the other Verde groups. How many of them are there? Can you give us a guesstimate? Are there five or six?
That would be
groups?
A Bob question. Bob,
people are constantly saying, "Oh, there's so many river groups. I can't keep it all straight." Well, there are quite a few, but some of them, as I mentioned earlier, aren't active. And of the ones that are active, each one sort of has a different role. The Verde River Basin Partnership works on developing scientific knowledge about the river and getting that disseminated. The Friends of the Verde River Greenway are doing a lot of work in habitat restoration along the all of the Verde River. And when we talk about Verde River, we're really talking about the Verde River and its tributaries. We live in a wonderful part of the world where we not only have one flowing stream, but numerous ones right here in the Verde Valley if you look at the tributaries of the river. Another newer organization is the Verde River Institute, and they're working on developing policy alternatives that will help preserve the Verde River, without which the likelihood of it continuing to be a continuously flowing perennial stream are seriously impacted, probably not in our lifetime, but in our children or grandchildren's lifetime, it could happen. In Arizona, we're real good at drying up rivers. We know how to do it.
And I don't know, maybe you guys can answer this question, but I know anecdotally, people tell me that their wells are drying up in the lower Verde Valley. Is that just a particular well, or is there less water running or less groundwater, or do we know?
Well, well levels fluctuate for a variety of reasons. We're talking about, you're talking about the groundwater level dropping. We're about 20 years into a drought here. That certainly is going to cause water tables to drop. But also, 20, 30 years ago, we only had a few hundred wells in the Verde Valley. Now we have we have thousands of wells in the Verde Valley, and all of those are bringing water up out of the ground, which drops the groundwater level too.
Which one of the games of the last 50 years or maybe longer in Arizona was connecting groundwater and surface water. So we've switched from, real quickly, from talking about the river to talking about groundwater, which is a whole other show. And we're talking about, we might as well get it right now, we're talking about having Doug Van Gossig, the mayor of Clarkdale, on here, who has certainly become river and water expert. Tom O'Halloran, the former state senator, state representative, is a water expert, past or current president of Keeps It Own and Beautiful.
Groundwater is what you see coming out in springs and stuff. That's what it's the fills the aquifer. It fills all the spaces in the soil, and so it's a different source really than immediate surface water.
Well,
because
in Arizona,
when it rains, you know, you can watch Oak Creek or you can watch the Verde fill up with water. I mean, that's surface water, right?
Correct. Well, yeah. Groundwater is also what comes out of your tap when you turn it on.
Right.
We are not using treated surface water to supply our municipal, to make our municipal supplies.
All the municipalities in the Verde Valley are using the groundwater, using tapping into the aquifer.
That's correct, Steve. Mm-hmm.
One of the things on conservation is if we're going to do an environment, I've heard, you know, down at the coffee shop with my conservative buddies, they say, you know what, screw conservation. I mean, you know, residential water usage is something like, 8% of the use of water? Industry and farms use 80% of the water. So when they conserve, I'll conserve. In the meantime, you know, I'm going to water my grass and wash my car.
Go for it.
Okay.
See how long it works for you.
I know what I was looking for was an answer to these guys that would slap them a little bit.
Well, a tremendous amount of the Colorado River water is used to irrigate things like alfalfa and golf courses and stuff in southern Arizona. Huge percentage of it, if you just stop irrigating crops that are probably more appropriate to Indiana than to Arizona, then you would save a tremendous amount of the water from the Colorado. But we're talking about a fairly small river in a lot of ways. It was once very, very different than what it looks like now.
Yeah.
The riparian area around the river was once a mile wide. It was a slow, flat river. We even have descriptions of the military men who came into the Verde Valley in the 1880s about what the river looked like and about a major flood that dug it much deeper and took off a lot of the banks along it. It's been populated for hundreds and hundreds of years. There are little ancient villages all along the Verde River. The floodplain provided rich soil. It's still where all the farming, I believe, in the Verde Valley is done, right, folks?
Lots of archaeological sites and whatnot. Go ahead.
Farming without irrigation water here is practically impossible, as you're probably well aware. So either you're going to put your municipal water on your garden, or you're going to have irrigation. And for commercial scale farming, irrigation is going to be what's required.
Mm-hmm. We do want to talk about environment, but I want to, which we have been talking about. We have the, but Wendy advertised this little gig here as these are the fun folks. But what I want to make clear is the connection between the fun and the environment. which is why we have these two people on the show. The current philosophy, I believe, is, which is sounds brilliant, quite frankly, is connecting the fun for those people who are either unaware of or unappreciative of this resource called the Verde River. That if the many uses, if to borrow a phrase from the Forest Service, can be explored, then more and more people will appreciate it, thereby more and more people protecting it. Is that the overall goal?
Yeah, that's exactly the point, is to get people out there and seeing this jewel that we have running through our country, whether it be Oak Creek, Beaver Creek, feeding the river. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. We have water here, and that's fairly unique to a desert habitat. VERVNO's focus is to really get people out there and involved. And then through their interest there, we point them in the direction that, oh, you want to help clean up the trails? You can go to this group. That's what they do. And help point them in a direction where they can get more involved.
VERVNO is Verde River Nature Organization.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Basically, we're trying to get the river back on the map. I've been to a lot of meetings where there was no river on the map.
Wow.
And I think it's time that river and its tributaries get back on the map.
Well, once again, my coffee shop buddies, they believe that there's going to be no river. Our guest here, Bob Rothrock, has already mentioned that but maybe it was before the show that in our lifetime it's not likely to happen, that but these guys think like next week, or I say, they're not going to be surprised if they pick up the paper and they find that there's no river flow anymore. I want to get real basic here. Paulden, Chino Valley. I know it's been talked about to death, but let's give it a few minutes on the sources of the Verde River and at least what may or may not happen to keep it flowing at that spot, at those points.
The Verde River begins due to groundwater reaching the surface. And if the groundwater drops to a point where it no longer can reach the surface, then the river begins to dry up, as I just mentioned is happening already at Del Rio Springs, just south of Prescott. So if we keep doing things that cause the groundwater table to drop, mostly through pumping groundwater, that it's more like a death by a thousand cuts, though, Mike. It's not a cataclysmic event where suddenly somebody upstream turns off the tap.
Okay.
Because a lot of the groundwater is coming into the river in the Verde Valley. Right?
People seem to forget that there is a connection between the river and groundwater. It's basically the same water. It's just some of it's underground, some of it's on the surface. And they affect each other.
Well, state law doesn't even recognize the fact that groundwater and surface water are connected.
Well, I think they're making incremental, through court decisions, movement that way. And that's one of the reasons you see Salt River Project or APS or other water utilities at meetings that deal with water is when the state does connect surface and groundwater, then the whole game changes.
I'm holding my breath.
Okay. I have to say that's because we're getting more public involved.
Mm-hmm.
We get more public out there realizing we have a river and the value of that river. They start speaking up, and people have to listen.
Chip, what's our guy's name, the county supervisor?
Chip Davis.
Chip, I heard Chip Davis say that, you know, what you're talking about, as long as you keep sticking straws into the big Chino Aquifer up near Prescott.
Or any aquifer.
He says it's kind of inevitable. That part's going to grow. You're going to keep sticking straws in the ground to draw water out. That the Verde River is going to be in trouble if the big Chino Aquifer is its only main source. So that's what he says is the inevitability of without conservation, without other environmental factors regarding the Verde River, sooner rather than later, because of the growth of Prescott Valley and Prescott.
There's lots of things you can do. I know that the Nature Conservancy has a project to improve the way that the ditches work, the flow of water into the ditches. And so they have automatic devices going on there so that the farmers don't need as much water to irrigate the same crop, so things are managed much better. There's all kinds of management tools. Nature Conservancy is involved along with your guys' organization and other organizations.
We want to get those guys on, the river guys. We want to talk about the impact of solar. We want to talk about the connection of ground and surface water. We want to talk about the USGS relatively recent study and its popularity and its non-popularity in some circles, depending on which side of the question you're on, or maybe even more dramatically, which side of the mountain you're on. And we'll come back to that. I want to cover every event that Wendy has in her little bag of tricks here, and tell us about those events.
I passed her a piece of paper with her events on it.
My own calendar that I just laid out.
Why people should go and how they do that. So this is the part, folks, that you ought to
get this many events, you need a cheat sheet.
Pens and pencils.
Get your calendar out.
Okay,
Wendy.
Get your calendar out.
You got the floor here.
Well, first of all, we're going to have 1,500 brochures going out shortly that'll tell you all about it. It has a calendar and it has a map with the river on it. I put it on there because I couldn't find one that had everything I wanted on there.
Wow.
But first of all, let me just say that I'm the newcomer to this game. I've been volunteering with different groups for probably since 2008 when I first started getting involved here. The Bird Fest, of course, is our biggest one. It's 4 days, always the end of April. It's fabulous. We have amazing field trips. We have a nature day. We have a student day. And this year, for the first time, we have a scholarship that's going to be sending a student to the American Birding Association camp up in Colorado.
And people come here from all over the country for the birding
they do.
Event, right?
They do, yeah. And we've even had people from England. So we're trying to get it more worldwide. But the first thing right now that's driving us is Riverfest, and it's a challenge out to all our communities. It's just not just about us. We want to see every community in the Sedona Verde Valley get involved, declare April Verde River Month, even if it just means developing a new coffee called the Mocha Verde. You know, promote
I like it.
Have a mud tire special if you're a tire store. We don't care. As long as it's helping people become more aware, we'll give you a poster. We'll put you out there on our website. And we do have a few communities. We do know that Sedona Mayor is coming on board with a proclamation for Riverfest this year. I know that Clarkdale is looking at it. I know the other mayors in the area are also reviewing that, and we should know in the next month. We do have our own events. We'll kick off with our registration, which always opens February 1st. This year, that's for the Birding Festival.
And they can register through your organization?
They register through verdebirdie.org.
Verdebirdie.
Online. To register with the other events and workshops to get more information for VervNO, it's VRVNO.org or VervNO.org.
VRVNO.
Correct.
Yeah. And so the other registration we've just recently kicked off is for our annual Verde River runoff. And Bob can speak to you a little bit more about that. But basically, it's going well. And we're going to put approximately 200 people on the Verde River. March 28th. That's our capacity. That's what we're shooting for this year. And they're going to race 10 miles in canoes and kayaks.
This is the first river race of the season anywhere in the country, really. And it's a 10-mile course from Whitebridge to Beasley Flat over a beautiful stretch of river. And we offer 9 different categories. The first place winners in each category will be getting a $50 REI gift certificate, as well as a medal to proudly wear and prance around in. And afterward, there's a festival, the Spring Heritage Festival in Camp Verde, with a lot of the wine growers there offering samples and good food, other booths of interest. So you can really make a complete day of it down in Camp Verde on March 28th, participating in the Verde River runoff. winning your medal and then proudly wearing it at the Spring Heritage Festival in Camp Verde.
We call it the after party. Boaters know what that is.
Yes.
But before that, even, our real first kickoff event is March 21st this year, and we're collaborating with the entire Verde Valley on SciTech Festival, which is actually a nationwide promotion of STEM, the STEM program for education, science, technology.
I believe it was on the
English,
front page
math.
Of the paper recently.
Yeah, it's actually just now hitting our local news.
Okay.
And I forget how many groups now this year. I think there's at least a dozen of us. What VerveKnow does is we have an outdoor science festival. We're going to have hang gliding coming in this year. We have clay play with local clay. We have all kinds of technical applications that are now being used for mapping, GPS, scavenger hunt, a bunch of exciting things that just help promote outdoor science. So that's on March 21st at Dead Horse Ranch State Park.
At Dead Horse. Okay.
Then we have the river runoff, which is why we need everybody out there snow dancing currently to make sure we have water in that river.
And plenty of it.
And plenty of it. We work with the Mickelson Marathon.
When's the runoff?
March 28th.
March 28th.
Okay.
I believe the Mickelson runoff is the 18th, April 18th. And it's the Memorial Runoff or Marathon in Cottonwood. So we work with them and volunteer with them for that project.
For former city manager Brian Mickelson.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. It's turned into a fabulous event. It's really grown, and we are really honored to be able to be a part of that.
That's great. Sedona Marathon South.
Yeah. Sedona Marathon.
Sure.
Wherever we are.
Right.
Wherever we are in there. And then we have other events and activities that we haven't really defined yet. We basically move into the Bird Festival at the end of April for the
Correct.
4 days. And then this year we've developed a new partnership that we hope will become an annual with the Page Springs Vineyard and City of Cottonwood with their Tilted Earth concert for the summer solstice.
Right, yes.
We get to host the Kids Zone this year. So we'll be a part of that this year, and they've extended for 2 years.
I was at Page Springs yesterday. They talked about the Tilted Earth Festival, and they talked about 9 organizations. I mean, it's the love affair that we are sort of beginning with wine in the Verde Valley.
And this takes place down at Riverfront. So if you want to wander, you
Riverfront
can...
Riverfront Park in Cottonwood.
Riverfront Park in Cottonwood. You can actually wander down to the river if you wanted to.
And it is a short walk for those of us that are, you know, lazy.
and it's a beautiful walk under the cottonwood canopy.
It is that. And it's a lot of it is cleared. And I mean, I was just there last weekend. And I'm saying this for our listeners of all ages. But as I've been getting up there, we're looking for there's less cross country walking to get to the river than many maybe other places. Although we want to talk about before we leave the new public access, which we already referenced, and give me the name of it again in Clarkdale.
In Clarkdale, there's the Lower Tapco River Access Point. And it goes to the new Toosie Goot, which has always been there but never really kept up and promoted as such. But that's about a 3-mile run.
The idea is, I think, now maybe there are restrictions, but it's a public access to a really, really natural spot on the river.
It's a beautiful spot on the river. It's a nice park for a picnic.
They often have people there to answer questions. There's a volunteer.
They have an ambassador program. It's actually a paid ambassador program. There is a gate fee, and to date, their gate fee is managing to pay for the maintenance of that park. Not the Toosie Goot that's within the state parks, but for the Tapco, Lower Tapco.
It's actually a voluntary donation, but
it is a voluntary
donation. Thankfully, most people are donating.
But it's a beautiful spot. It's a beautiful stretch of the river with a lot of variety of rapids and then clear water and lakes essentially along the river
and wildlife. Yeah,
and wildlife. It's a very rich, great environment. When you paddle along the river, you see people picnicking beside the river. You get a real feeling for what is one of the great resources, natural resources of the river. And you could talk about all the practical things that the river does, but it also provides a huge miles and miles, was about 36 miles in the Verde Valley, long stretch of places where you can camp and picnic and just visit the river.
In my Verde Valley odyssey of the 40 years I've lived here, I lived a year right on the river. My family and I had a place on the river, and we didn't develop it. We stole it. I want to give the source because he has passed now. But Frank and Peggy Funk taught us who lived on the river many, many years. We did a river walk, and that simply was putting on a pair of river shoes or boots. And this is also a comment on the depth or lack thereof of the Verde River. And my kids and I would get in the middle of the river and simply walk down the river. Part of it was just the audacity of just walking through the river. But in that process, we saw all kinds of things that Steve was just talking about. And certainly, Bob believes that we should maintain and preserve. And we'd walk as far as we could. It was a summertime activity, so the water was really low. I want to say that up front. I know both of these people are hoping for flows enough to have the kinds of recreation that we're talking about, kayaking and canoeing. And however, in the middle of summer, at least in some spots on the river, like where we were walking, it was a fun walk. But we didn't worry about, unless we got into a hole. There was some deep holes on various sides of the river. Maybe I get to warn my kids about safety and that sort of thing. But simply for miles, just walking straight up the middle of the river and seeing all the flower and fauna and everything associated with that.
On the tour I went on, I was the only person to tip over their kayak. I ran into a rock and I put my foot down and the water was about a foot deep, and it's fine for a kayak, but it was just, there's no danger, folks. The river is a very, very, easy river, like to walk in, to move around in, to kayak on.
Steve, maybe we should clarify that a little bit, because we have had some people that have that thought about the river and they've gone out at the wrong time. It's very important that you check your water levels and you check your experience. Because you can run into some serious troubles, especially after flooding, before the teams get out there. We have teams that actually go out there and clean the river to make it safe.
Good.
That's part of what we do when we're doing events on the river. It's part of what some of the other river organizations do. And that's what makes it safe. Certainly, if you're running at 60 to 150 CFS, you're pretty much okay, and you're going to be able to step out of your boat and stand up. You know, at the deepest, it may be thigh level. But when you have signs of flooding or you know there's a lot of runoff, you do want to check with people before you jump in that river.
That's very true. I lost a canoe. I almost lost a new lady friend that I was seeing in 1992. I was going to be cool. I invited a friend to
was going to be
paddle the river, and I had a borrowed fiberglass canoe, and we got it into the river. She gets in, I get in. We made it a quarter mile. It was exactly what Wendy was talking about. It was a little bit, it was springtime, it was the spring of 1992, and the water was a little fast, but then, you know, and I was completely inexperienced, even though I was living with river people. The point being that we made it a quarter mile, we got into something where we needed to stay away from the rapid. We had no idea how deep it was. We found out the canoe went straight for the rapid. We got out, as you said, we stepped out before, but I'm looking at my canoe in this must have been 6 foot, 8 foot hole.
Your borrowed canoe.
My borrowed, broken canoe now. I'm looking at half my canoe. The power of the water snapped the canoe in half. I'm looking at half the canoe on the bottom of the river and no way to get it out because it was the water was so fast and I couldn't reach down far enough to pull it out. So I'm looking at I want to say young woman because I was an old man even then. And we just kind of shrugged our shoulders and walked back to shore.
You are so old now.
Well, Terry. But yes, and that was probably my last, certainly was my last time in any sort of boat on the river.
I used to lead tourists at Beasley Flat over to the archaeological sites, and the river would vary. You're right. The river would vary, and there was a number we could call and find out what the flow was. And I remember one time it was sort of iffy, and I had this couple down there, and the guy took one look at the river, which was pretty high, and he said, "I waded enough rivers in Vietnam. I'm not wading another one." And I said, "Fine, here I've got a great archaeological site that you can go to that you don't have to wade across the river in," because the water was high. It was early spring.
To a couple of these points, you can get detailed river information from some river guides that are available at the Friends of the Verde River Greenway website, which have maps of the river mile by mile and description of what you might encounter there. You'll also find out on those maps where there's private land and where there's public land. And I would want to caution the listeners that you can have a great time at a lot of places along the Verde River, but there is also a lot of private property, and those private property owners want their private property respected. Getting out of your boat and getting up on the nicely mowed lawn and having a picnic, hey, that's not a park. So
that's a good point.
You want to be sure that you know where you're stopping, and so that those people's rights can be respected. And then to the points that have been made about river safety and being safe in the water, you do want to know what the level is and gauge that with your level of experience. You can find out the levels of the water in the Verde River as well as all the tributaries at the USGS website, and what you're looking for is USGS. Look for the words real time in your search, and that will get you to a website that shows the levels of the flows in the river, both in feet and cubic feet per second.
The other thing to know is that we do have outfitters. So if you don't have a lot of experience, you don't have confidence, check with your outfitters. Go down a couple times. You can do it by kayak. They are very professional. They provide you with the inflatables, which are very forgiving on the river, and with guides, so you're not alone. Or you can even go down in a tube. They have deluxe tubes with a seat on them, but that's with the outfitters.
And that's an excellent point, because these are, you know, for an old timer like me, these are new things to have somebody they can actually go to and get advice and hire to help you with this thing. It would have been a way more. I'm going back to my quote-unquote.
It's a fairly modest charge, too. It's something that most people and their families can afford.
Going back to my date, it certainly would have worked out a lot better.
A lot better,
had
you.
I found an expert, somebody to at least say, look, don't shift your weight in the canoe.
The other thing that we try and do, too, Mike, is we offer a couple of opportunities a year. One of them is in conjunction with Verde River Day. We do a free canoe paddle.
And that's in September?
That's in September, the last weekend of September. The Sunday after Verde River Day, we put beginners, introduce people to that section of the river, which is not often accessible because of the ditches that agricultural ditches. They put the water back in the river for us. We have guide paddles, so you're not paddling your own canoe unless you really feel confident and want to. And about how long? That's just over a mile?
Oh, no, it's a couple miles,
It
only takes a little over an hour. So it's a nice intro to what it's like to float on the river, and the price is right, too.
It's free.
There was the saying back east.
We've been doing it for free.
When we canoed, that the surest way to have a divorce was to put two people who were inexperienced in a canoe.
In the same canoe.
In the same canoe trying to paddle down to Delaware or something. Yeah.
I had a couple friends of mine in single kayaks going down the river together, and she got through and he got dumped trying to follow her. So it sometimes doesn't work in two boats either.
You can call them love boats or divorce boats, those tandem ones.
The other thing we offer is a safe river recreation. And I did mention that, but we have other workshops as well where we put you on the water or off the water and teach you about safety. We have Birding 101 to introduce people to birding in the Verde Valley. We have a new Nature Guide Academy, which is instructing, it could be front-end people in the lobby of a hotel to outfitter guides to our birding guides, training them in interpretive guiding and communications. what else do we do? We have a youth program where we involve youth. Part of that is the site.
And where can people find this information again?
Again, at Vrvno, VRVNO.org.
Okay. You know, you're listening to Democratic Perspective, and where Steve and I and whoever we convinced to get on the phone or come in the studio, we talk about politics on most mornings. But we've been doing shows like this for over 3 years now. We kind of open the window, let in some fresh air, and that smoky room, that smoky political room that we have here, which actually nobody smokes anymore, thank God. But so we are. This is a departure from our usual format, but I love these shows that we do. We've done some wine shows.
Next week we're doing another wine show, right?
Oh, we are gonna.
We have a couple of people who manage or own major vineyards and wineries coming in to do the show next week. We always love doing those shows because they're lots of fun. I mean, we've done shows on torture and terrorism. Yeah. It's kind of nice for us to get a break from all the serious political. A lot of our political shows are not partisan. They are about the difficult political aspects of the world. What, folks, my question to you is, what do you want to see for the Verde Valley? What do you want to see the Verde Valley? Where do you want to see the river in 10 years in terms of usage, in terms of health? What can people do? Just get involved?
Well, of course, it's going to have to start with that. In 10 years, I'm hoping we see the Verde flowing freely, clearly, and not having dropped, that the flows have remained stable. To do that's going to take effort of a lot of people. We like getting people up here from the great state of Maricopa to participate in our events because lots and lots of representatives in our state legislature are elected from Maricopa County. And if we're going to get the types of changes we need in state policies that are going to allow the Verde to survive in the long run, we're going to need those representatives on board.
Did I see an interview with somebody from Maricopa and they were surprised to, I think it was in the Arizona Republic back in November or December, they were surprised that there was a river like the Verde River in Arizona, you know, actually running water and a beautiful stream. They're used to something quite different.
I spend a lot of time outdoors, and I'm running into people all the time from what, as Bob called it, the great state of Maricopa, the 4.5 million people just 2 hours south of here. Or if you drive really fast, 70 minutes south of here. They find their way here and discover all sorts of things. And Wendy's organization and Bob's efforts, they will discover some organized approach to our natural environment that they're coming for, that it still will be here the next time they come, or if their children make their way out of the 7 million people that are now living in the Valley of the Sun, the Phoenix area, that it's too close to ignore. They are coming, so the way to exactly what you guys are doing, Wendy Harford and Bob Rothrock, and through their efforts and that of many others, which we're going to hopefully have a second show on this.
Wendy, you have 1 minute to sum it up. Where do you want your organization to go? What's the plans for it?
Our plans are to continue to grow and develop and get people on the river and out in nature, learning to enjoy and understand it. And we invite you to visit us at vrvno.org and verdeberde.org.
As we talked about, there's lots of organizations, but you got to start somewhere. And you can start with a fun group. I want to point that out, that Wendy certainly came on to talk about events, and Bob came on to talk about environment and a little bit of history. When I was a reporter, I spent a lot of time writing about water in the Verde River. But it's not always on the top of everyone's list. This station goes all the way into Prescott. Come on down, check out this wonderful resource that we have here, and now the help that Wendy Harford's organization and Bob Rothrock's organizations are starting to, or not starting, have for a long time been shepherds and stewards of this, and trying to involve more. The philosophy is the more people we can get on the river, the more people that we can interest in the river, I should say.
And I think their strategy is a good one. I think Wendy's organization and the kind of stuff Bob's doing, working with a bunch of organizations, is a good strategy to have different groups working on different projects. Next week, we'll be doing a show on the wine industry again.
Well, we want to make, you want this information. We did give you a lot of information. You can find it all on the podcast at vvid.org. vvid.org is this show and all of the others. And yes, next week, please, Sam Pillsbury, Paula Wosley. It's going to be it's going to be a comedy show, having these two guys on next week on Democratic Perspective.
Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.